Here we are. Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this February the 3rd in the year of our Lord 2017. And we got a little confused this week because yesterday I was at the gas station, all set to come over to the radio station, went to turn on my car, and it wouldn't start. Make a long story short, I missed not only the program, but I also missed doing a chapel service at a retirement home. But I got to the youth confirmation only 5 minutes late at Trinity Orchard Farm. So things worked out pretty good. And it gave me an opportunity to also get ready for the Bible study that night and make some phone calls that were pretty important. But therefore, we didn't have our regular Rumination Thursday with Wes Reimnitz. So I got about 300 calls asking if he could be on Friday.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, did I say 300? I'm in three.
Three.
And one was from his. Me. One was from his wife. One was from his son. No, pulling your leg. No. We talked about it. I phoned him from the gas station, and I said, "Guess what, Wes? We won't be on today, but we agreed to be on." Wow, that was Thursday. We agreed to be on Friday. So we're not having an open mic Friday today. We're just having Rumination Thursday on Rumination Friday.
Well, we hope that that doesn't confuse them too much.
Oh, I don't think so either. Confuses me, but what we're going to do, and the reason we want to do this, we got an email because I've asked for them also, that I do think we should respond to. It's from a woman who says, you know, when you are baptized, you receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins, of course. Then why do we go to the Lord's Supper? If we've already received the gift of the forgiveness of sins, is going to the Lord's Supper a way of getting more forgiveness, she asks. And I share that with Pastor Reimnitz. What's your initial response to that, Wes?
You know, it was interesting because I spent some time looking in the catechism and other things. And it's interesting. It isn't that we get more forgiveness of sins. It's for the strengthening of faith.
Excellent.
In the forgiveness of sins.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I remember when we were going to every Sunday communion at the congregation I was pastoring, one of the individuals said, well, if we go every Sunday, it won't be a special, you know, because we're doing it every week and it becomes a routine and this sort of thing. And I said, okay, we won't go every Sunday, therefore doing the Lord's Prayer, because we sure don't want it to become routine.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I think most of us don't stop and think that, you know, we get a weakening of faith, you know, just the everyday grind of sin that creeps into our life. And it's a wonderful opportunity to remind ourselves that we receive forgiveness through Christ, and Christ is still there very personally to each and every one of us.
Yes, there actually was a pastor, of course he wasn't Lutheran, but said you only need to say the Lord's Prayer once, because once you say, forgive us our trespasses, if you ever say it again, you're kind of saying to God that I'm not sure you heard me the first time, so I have to repeat it.
Oh, boy. You know, another reason that I ran across is the troubled conscience. You know, and I think you've seen this too before, where we go and see our shut-ins and they're troubled over their past life, and that sacrament just kind of gives them a peace of mind that their sins are forgiven.
Yes. Can you imagine, we're both married, and around comes Valentine's Day, and we don't give anything to our wife, and they say to us, well, don't you love me? And I say, well, I told you that before we're married. How many times do I got to repeat it?
I think that's a very apt illustration. I mean, it's true.
Oh, You didn't give anything on Valentine's to your wife?
Well, yes, I do.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, this year I'm giving her a shovel with a longer handle for the snow.
And you've had lots of it, huh?
Well, I feel bad looking out the front window and seeing her struggling with a small shovel, so...
She just sends me out with a shovel.
Yeah, oh, she does. Well, there's three questions that I often like to ask, and it helps understand why we have the Lord's Supper. The three questions, the first one is, when were our sins forgiven? And the answer is, of course, at the
cross.
Exactly. At cross. But if everybody's sins were forgiven at the cross, how come everybody doesn't go to heaven? Because God forgiving the sins of the world doesn't get somebody to heaven, because according to the scripture, you must receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And so that's the next question. When did you receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins?
When we believed in the promises.
That's right. And in my case, it was when I was baptized.
Baptized, yeah, right, yeah, as an infant, yeah.
Yes. So what we're showing are two items that occur outside of us that have nothing to do with us. Like if you ask somebody, are your sins forgiven? And somebody says a testimony, yeah, I used to be a real sinner and I'm not near as much a sinner now. You see, he's taking credit rather than giving credit to Jesus on the cross.
Right, and as you well know, and many others do too, the closer we draw to Christ and faith in him, the more we realize our sinfulness.
Exactly, because we see how much he has done for us. Another problem, though, does come up when we're talking about this, and that particular problem is that some people will say, if you ask them, when did you receive the gift, they'll say, when I invited Christ into my heart. And notice who's driving the verbs again.
Yeah, it's us.
And that's why baptism is so critical. That baptism, you can, have you ever often baptized adults who already were believers?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, we all have. And the reason we do that is not to give them a new gift of forgiveness of sins, but this becomes now the assurance that they truly have received the gift and they don't have to look to their works or to their faith whatsoever.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting, you know, to watch an adult be baptized and see their faith on fire, you know, a whole different change come over them.
Yes. Yeah, it just is one of the sacraments of the church. So the first question is, when were your sins forgiven? When did you receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins? Now, since we know a person can fall from their baptism through unbelief, the next question is, how do you know you're still a Christian? And
well, yeah, you've often said if you're still troubled over your sins.
Right, but see, that's looking at yourself again, and a lot of people aren't troubled over their sins, but if the cross is the answer to that our sins are forgiven, and baptism is the answer that we receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins, and I'm trying to reply to, guess what we get to know we're still a Christian?
Well, it's Holy Communion.
That's right, yes. Yeah, the Lord's Supper. So it's not that you're getting additional forgiveness, but that you're getting an assurance so you don't have to rely, do I have a strong enough faith? Am I doing enough good works or this kind of thing? You can take the words that are said, this is my body given for you, my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know if you probably have had it too, where people are so troubled that on the way up the stairs, they catch themselves in a sin, you know.
Yes.
And still that reminder. Are you repentant? Yes, I'm repentant. You are worthy to receive the sacraments.
Yes. And the reason that we tell people they are worthy to receive the sacraments is because they confess just before that that they are unworthy to receive the sacrament.
That's right.
And that's what God is looking for. He doesn't want somebody coming to the sacrament who says, well, I'm finally able to take the sacrament because I'm a much better person than I was last week.
Yeah, no, and that's a big difference, you know, is one who's seeking out that forgiveness through Christ and trust in those promises of what he's done for us at the cross.
So we're not saying if you're already a believer in baptism or the Lord's Supper, you get additional gifts of the forgiveness of sins. But God likes to give us evidence outside of ourselves so we don't have to rely on our own faith or our own works. And that's why the two sacraments have been set up. Now, in baptism, you do get a gift that the Old Testament believer never had. Because when Jesus died on the cross, and we talked about this last night at our Bible study at Trinity Orchard Farm, where we're looking at Old Testament passages fulfilled by the New. And the point we made was that when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain of the temple tore in two. Now, that was the one entering into the Holy of Holies.
Holy, yeah.
So I asked, you know, why did that happen? And one individual said, well, now we can enter to God. And I said, no, it's almost the opposite, is that God comes out. And I asked them, where now is the temple of the Lord? And he correctly answered, our bodies.
Body. Yeah, John 14 is another one I like to use. You know, at funerals, they use that one, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But if you read that a little bit later in that chapter, it says, if anyone loves me, you know, in other words, trust in those promises, the Father and I will come and make our home inside of you.
Yes. Yeah, it's always a point that's being made that God makes the move to us. I mean, how can you not understand that in light of the parable of the lost sheep? That the shepherd moves to the lost sheep, and you can only imagine, let's say he's lost in a hole or something that he fell into. He, first of all, is kind of fearful because he knows he did wrong leaving the flock, but then he is joyous when the shepherd picks him up, puts it on his shoulders, and carries him home.
Or we've often said, you know, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a story about Jesus and the love that he's had for all mankind.
Yeah, we used to go to people's homes with film strips put out by the World Home Bible League. In fact, when they were making them, they actually came to the seminary, showed them to us, and then changed some of them that we wanted to be more Lutheran so we could use them. And that was a big point that they were making there, is that Jesus comes to us. We don't decide to go to Jesus because we're unbelievers. And as an unbeliever, you know, prior to conversion, you have no desire to go to the true God.
Right. At Christmas time, we took a look at one of the lessons that talked about the title of Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, I got the kids, you know, I love doing questions where they get the wrong answer because I think they'll never forget it after they're told it. But I asked, what is the name of our Savior? And a number of them said, Jesus Christ.
Christ, yeah.
And I said, no, is my name Pastor Baker? And they thought about it and they said, no. Yeah, the word pastor is a title, the word Christ, which also means Messiah in the Hebrew, or anointed one, that's a title.
Right. And I think that's important, the name of Jesus, because when you look at it, also in Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no other, and there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His is the name by which we are saved.
In fact, that's the definition of Jesus.
Yeah, Savior.
Yeah, he will save us. And I mentioned there were three other people in the Old Testament who also were named Jesus, except that in the Old Testament Hebrew, it's the word Joshua.
Joshua.
And of course you had Moses' sidekick. Then you had the priest named Joshua at the rebuilding of the temple. But the third one, because these are the three offices of Christ, it's prophet, priest, and king. And so I asked, well, what prophet had the name Jesus or Joshua? And the fact of the matter is, it's not heard that way, but it does come from the root word for Joshua, and that's Hosea. Yeah, he's the prophet with the name Joshua, only pronounced Hosea. So it's kind of interesting to do that.
Well, yeah. Well, if you pull the whole Bible again, the story about Jesus all through the Old Testament is about Jesus. You know, there's that Pete Kurowski Bible study, Angel of the Lord.
Yes.
And which points to the fact that it's Jesus that appears to his people.
Yeah, some 70 times Jesus appears in the Bible prior to his birth as a human being.
Yeah, his lesson only takes it about 13 times.
Yes, I know. Okay, any other comments on the Lord's Supper then as not being a additional forgiveness of sins, but an assertion from God and an assurance that you are still a Christian and that you have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins? Any other comments?
I think those are the major ones right there. And I mean, there's many more that we could, but I think it's the importance that, you know, our church has moved on towards every communion Sunday. I can remember when I first, about the time I was being confirmed, we went from four times a year to every other, once a month to every other Sunday.
Right.
And nowadays we do it every Sunday.
I was somewhat opposed at the church I was at for every Sunday because a large percentage of the people were black and had not been understanding Lutheranism, at least their relatives. So when we had a baptism, I had to tell a number of people that they were unable to come to the Lord's Supper, and I tried to give the reason. That's hard to do in 2-3 minutes. And so I wanted a non-communion Sunday where I would have the baptisms then, but the congregation, and particularly Pastor Krosky was my co-pastor, he convinced them every Sunday. And it really didn't work out that bad because we would tell members of the congregation who were having a baptism to alert their cousins, et cetera, who were coming to see the baptism about our principle of close or closed communion. And as long as they knew up front that we didn't think they weren't a Christian, but that when you take the Lord's Supper, you're agreeing with the doctrine of the church. And we said, you need to know what the doctrine is before you can publicly assert that you agree with us.
Right. And that was one of the things, too, that I saw in that question that was being asked as I researched it. There's a unity. The church that you commune at is the church you confess at and the church that you believe
That's good.
In what they're teaching.
Yes. And a lot of people don't realize that. I remember most of the relatives of our members were somewhat of a Baptist or Reformed background. So here was what I would say to them. When you come to commune at this particular congregation, you are saying to the world that I agree with your statements and your doctrine. So if I'm talking a Roman Catholic, then I would say something, if you commune here, you are saying that it is wrong to believe in purgatory, for example. And I don't want to bind your conscience. I still consider you a Christian. I don't think your belief in purgatory sends you to hell. But it would say to the people here that you have changed your mind on that. And so if you haven't, we don't want to bind your conscience.
Right, yes. And the same way, there are those churches that say it makes no difference if you get an abortion or same-sex marriage or other sort of things, that you've now rejected those things. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it really is something that one needs to repent of when we have done sins. And if that repentance isn't there, then you really don't want to take the Lord's Supper. You know, nowhere in the Bible do I find that if you take baptism inappropriately that you get sick and die. But in 1 Corinthians 11, if you take the Lord's Supper without proper understanding or inappropriately, then you can get sick, and some even were falling asleep, which is the Christian way of saying that they were dying.
Right. So it really does make a difference when our pastors, you know, you and I and others take it to heart of, about talking to our people about the proper use of communion and repentance and receiving it in faith.
Yes, I was in a Bible study recently, and someone said, we don't call it close, don't we call it close? And I made the point that, no, it's both. Because it's close in the sense that communion is meant for those who are in agreement on the doctrinal stance of the congregation. And closed means that it is closed to those who disagree with the doctrinal stance of the congregation. Being closed from communion doesn't mean you're not a believer, but hopefully it's really because of a matter of weak faith rather than a strong position against the Word of God.
Right. And I remember years ago when I first started out in the ministry, I had a sit-down with an old Mennonite preacher. We spent an afternoon going through the scriptures and talking about the Lutheran confessions and that. And he walked away telling the community, those Lutherans take their words very seriously.
Yes. I mean, how many times on the radio have I said, if I say something you disagree with, email me or phone us if it's Open Mic Friday, which isn't today because I couldn't get my car started yesterday, but be that as it may, and then ask me how to explain what you think I said wrong. And if I don't give you Bible verses to back it up, then turn the station because I am a false teacher.
And we did that with the name of Jesus when we talked about Acts 4:12. His is the only name we find salvation.
Yes. So where are you? Are you preaching this Sunday?
Visitation. Actually,
oh, yeah.
I missed an adult Bible class I was supposed to have Wednesday, and I said, let's meet Sunday after church. And I've got an adult right now that I'm taking up at Manitoba. I'm taking through the catechism, just having a great time.
Yes. The one thing different is that the kids often, you know, they're forced to go to the class and this sort of thing. The adults really want to hear more. So it's harder to teach the kids because you've got to keep their attention. And I often will bring jokes in and things like that to start off. And then they all have to tell one or two of their jokes. And so it's kind of interesting.
You know, one church I was at, after a couple of years, the kids were saying, I know that story. I know you guys are going to like this. What was happening is the kids were going home and telling them the Bible stories that we had had in class that day.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing I discovered, because after church, one of the parents would come to me and said, I hear you said this, and I don't know how they knew it until I remember their child was in my class. And so they often will go home and say, here's what Pastor Baker said today.
And that's really what you want them to do, is be able to go out there and witness the family or friends.
Well, the trouble is they don't witness the doctrine I'm teaching them. They tell them, first of all, the jokes we talked about.
Oh, yeah, that does get to be a bit of a problem.
Well, they're good jokes, no doubt about that. But, yeah, so I'll be at Trinity Orchard Farm on Sunday, again at 8 and 10:30, God willing, with a 9:15 Bible class. The Bible class, what we're doing, we're taking a look at one of the ways in which C.F.W. Walther, first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, said that pastors misunderstand or misuse the distinctions between law and gospel. We're looking at number 10. And it's what I did overhead slides, and then I put them on paper, and there's four sheets. We didn't even get through the first sheet.
Ooh.
So we got three more to do, and that'll be happening on Sunday at 9:30. So we're kind of looking forward to that.
How's your fundraising coming along?
For Concordia Mission Society or for Law and Gospel?
Well, you're running one for KFUO right now for your Law and Gospel, aren't you?
Yes, yes, yes. We're about 2,000 short. We have through March. And I tell people that if you want to get a tax deduction, follow the address that you're going to hear in a few moments, but make it out to Concordia Mission Society. And then that's a tax deductible gift because that money will go also to KFUO. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks very much, Wes, for being with us. Hopefully next Thursday you won't have your battery die out on you.
Not hardly.
Oh, that's right. You're at home, so that works
right.
out pretty
yeah.
good. You got to come in one of these times.
Okay.
We can go to Steak and Shake again.
Oh, yes.
All right. I'm Tom Baker. On Monday, we'll continue with our Epiphany reading. Until then, have a blessed weekend. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.